Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. When St. Paul was dictating one of his letters to the church in Corinth, the Holy Spirit inspired him to create something of a short list of people who had seen Jesus alive after he had died on the cross. He said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me. These words of St. Paul remind us that there were hundreds, perhaps even thousands of people who saw Jesus alive after he had died upon the cross. Now, these accounts were not like modern-day sightings of Sasquatch, or maybe a UFO, Elvis, you know, those shadowy, grainy, out-of-focus images that could be almost anything. These scriptural accounts are of people who had conversations with Jesus, who touched Jesus, who ate with Jesus. These are not the accounts of people who merely saw things out of the corner of their eye somewhere. These are not the results of mere wishful thinking. Many questions will arise. Many questions come up when we read these accounts of the resurrection in the Bible. One question that a person might ask is this: why is this particular item of information included while another account was left out? The Apostle Paul tells us that there were many accounts of the risen Lord. There'd not be enough room in one book to contain all of them if they'd written them all down. So why did the Holy Spirit inspire the evangelist to include these accounts that we read today? Today's gospel comes from the gospel according to St. Luke. Luke's explanations of the resurrection begin early on Easter morning with the witnesses of the women at the open and empty tomb. Then there's the account of Jesus appearing to the disciples as they gather together in Jerusalem. Then finally, there's the account of Jesus appearing to the disciples as he ascended into heaven. There's a common thread throughout all of these appearance narratives that we read about Jesus after he risen from the dead. The women, they had encountered the angels at the empty tomb, and the angel said to them, "Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And the women remembered his words. In today's gospel, we hear Jesus speak to these two disciples on the road to Emmaus and say, "O foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now, in the third post-resurrection appearance of our Lord, Jesus appeared to a gathering of the disciples, and he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures and said to them, thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. In each of these instances, there's a focus on the Word of God. The angels direct the women to the Word of God spoken directly from the mouth of Jesus. Jesus directs his disciples to the Word of God written by Moses, the prophets, and in the Psalms. Today's gospel tells us that Jesus hid his own identity from these two guys on the road to Emmaus. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. He hid his own identity, but he explained the scriptures. As far as Jesus was concerned, it was more important to these disciples to understand the resurrection based upon the Word of God than it was for them to understand the resurrection simply by just seeing Jesus. The Word of God is very important to Jesus. Jesus scolded these two guys for failure to believe the Word of God. He said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" Jesus understood that the Bible might be hard to understand because, yeah, it does use some difficult language. It might also be hard to understand because Scripture says some things that we do not want to believe. Supposedly, Mark Twain said one time, "It ain't those parts of the Bible that I can't understand that bothers me. It's the parts that I do understand." What would happen if Jesus were to stand next to you right now? What if you talked to him? Would he say the same thing to you? "Oh, foolish ones, slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken." I know I'm still foolish. I'm still very slow of heart. What about you? Now, why do you suppose Jesus is so harsh to these guys? Why is he so insistent that we believe the Word of God? Why does he label those guys who are slow to believe as foolish? Well, Jesus, the God-man himself, he knows the Word of God, and he knows that the Word of God is the power of God. After all, when we look at creation, we know that it was the Word of God that created everything, and it continues to make it all work together. In the exact same way, it's also God's Word that delivers salvation unto us. Jesus is not adamant about God's Word just to give us something to do. He's insistent about God's Word because it is the power of God unto salvation. The Word of God is how God gives his gifts. In fact, Jesus Christ himself is the Word made flesh. It is through the Word of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus himself still comes to us today. You know, it's quite natural for us to ignore God's Word or to hear it improperly. When we hear that we broke the universe with our sin, it's only natural for us to think that, hey, we need to fix it by not sinning. Our human nature desperately desires a way for us to set things right, to make things right, you know, to make our own way back to paradise. It just makes sense to us that good, loving people go to heaven and cruel, evil people go to hell. It makes sense to us that we should be able to improve our own moral character so that we can make ourselves worthy of heaven. Therefore, when God's word tells us that we are all cruel and evil, that we cannot save ourselves, what do we do? Brothers, what do we do? Well, most of the time we just ignore it. We complain that it's too hard for us to understand, so why bother? And for most, well, they just quit going to church and even looking at a Bible. When God's word tells us that Jesus took the blame and the punishment for our cruelty and our evil, we judge that it's just too good to be true, and we insist that there's got to be something we must do to earn salvation. Jesus will not let us get away with that kind of thinking. He taught the Emmaus disciples that the entire Old Testament is about him. He began with Moses and the prophets, and he interpreted to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. He showed them how the Old Testament proclaimed the suffering, death, and resurrection of the Christ. Jesus teaches that there is a single theme throughout all of the Bible. I have learned myself that it's called a unified theological narrative. Clear throughout, from Genesis to the end of Revelation, it's like a scarlet thread is winding through all of the passages of Scripture. And that scarlet thread is Jesus Christ himself. It teaches us that we haven't learned the full meaning of any passage in Scripture until that passage teaches us something about Jesus Christ. Jesus said that the Emmaus disciples were foolish and slow of heart because they didn't believe in the scarlet thread of Jesus throughout all of Scripture. I've got to confess to you that I, too, I don't see Jesus as quickly as I should when I'm reading the Bible. Therefore, I too am foolish and slow of heart. How about you? Eventually, Jesus revealed himself to the Emmaus disciples. They arrived at their home and they invited Jesus to come in and spend the night. The day was already over. And as they reclined for the evening meal, Jesus kind of took over as the role of host. He broke the bread and gave it to them. It was then that they realized that this is none other than Jesus himself, the Christ, risen from the dead. And just as soon as they recognized him, he disappeared from their sight. Isn't it interesting that they recognized Jesus in the breaking of the bread? We also break bread, don't we? Jesus has given us a special meal using bread and wine. He promised that when we celebrate this meal according to his instructions, he'll take up residence in that bread and in that wine. He'll come to us in his very body and blood. He'll do so in a way that's similar to the experience of these Emmaus disciples. and that they recognize Jesus in the breaking of the bread. Jesus comes to us in his word. He comes to us as his word falls on our ears, and he comes to us as the word combines with the bread and the wine of the Lord's Supper. In each case, Jesus reveals himself to us. He is always with us, as he has promised us that he would be with us always until the end of the age. Your eyes have been opened. Amen. And may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.